The sirens are going off. We're under attack. The kaijus have come back. And what can save us? Probably science and math. This week, we're talking about Godzilla Singular Point. Happy Godzilla Day, everyone. Welcome, anime fans and foodies, to Anime Bento. Each week, we review a different anime, and we give you some fun recipes to go along with it. Joining me this week is...
28 Savage Days here, aka Karma. Let's press start, nerds.
Well, everyone, it's not just a normal episode this week, but we're also celebrating Godzilla Day.
Happy Godzilla Day, November 3rd.
I can speak for myself. I know Karma is also a big Godzilla fan, so we're both big Godzilla fans. We love us some kaijus. I believe every year at Comic-Con, we always go to the Tamashii Nation booth, and they have a lot of Godzilla stuff there. It's one of our favorite booths out there. I don't know if you're listening, but shout out to one of my favorite people of Comic-Con of all time. Well, Karma's one of them, but shout out to Justin, who works at Tamashii Nation.
Yay, one of my favorite Justin. People.
So this week, we're going to celebrate some Godzilla. And okay, I hate doing this because I hate just a random question off the bat to my co-host. But Karma, who is your favorite kaiju? Do you need time to think? You want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay. My favorite kaiju is... Mothra. I love Mothra so much. Mothra is one of my favorite kaijus because Mothra protects humanity. Remember this, everyone. Mothra cares about the people. Godzilla cares about the earth. So if you want someone on your side, you want Mothra. And Mothra is just so beautiful. So Mothra is the best. Second up, Biollante. I know Kara remembers this from this year's Comic-Con. I was obsessed with Biollante. Anyone who had mentioned Biollante, I freaked out. We did an interview with someone, and he mentioned Biollante, and I just, like, a little schoolgirl squeal came out of me.
That was such an awesome, awesome interview, which I need to post on the Second Union YouTube channel. You did so great with that. Because we got to interview the director of Shin Godzilla.
Yes. No, not Shin Godzilla. Oh, no, it was Shin Godzilla. You're right.
Yeah.
It was Shin Godzilla.
Yes.
And then we also interviewed the guy who does the special effects for the Monarch show.
Yes.
So, those are so exciting. Anything Godzilla, I fanboy over. I love Godzilla so much.
Yeah, because I'm a child of the 80s. Really young in the 70s, but I just remember Godzilla was on all the time. On Sundays, on Saturdays, on UHF television for all you old heads out there, like y'all the OGs. Shout out to all the OGs, the 50 and pluses out there. But God, UHF television, you would always see Kung Fu Theater. And either right before it or right after it, it was always a Godzilla movie. Loved it. Absolutely. Was it Monster Theater? I believe is what it was called in Philly. Is what they would call it. Monster Theater Afternoon or something like that. And it was always a Godzilla movie. I love Godzilla and Ultraman. And Spectre Man.
So would you say your favorite kaiju is Godzilla?
I would say my favorite kaiju is Godzilla. Second would have to be Mothra. Third, because I always like a bad guy, is King Ghidorah.
Oh, King Ghidorah? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. King Ghidorah.
A Godzilla hour. I don't know. Godzilla movies around an hour back then.
Yes.
So that would be so, oh man, I would be glued to my TV. You know, my actual first experience with Godzilla is through, has anyone ever seen the show called Mystery Science Theater 3000? It's a show where they make fun of movies. They talk during the movie and they make jokes through it. They did Godzilla movies for a few of the episodes, and that was my first experience with Godzilla. And then I was hooked. So almost every weekend, my family would go to, we didn't do Blockbuster here. We had a video rental place called Hastings. Shout out to anyone who knows Hastings. But we would go there, and I would always pick up a Godzilla movie. I loved, just one of them had to be Godzilla that we rented, and I watched. Oh, Godzilla's, I'm so fanboying, so Godzilla's great.
And I had to look it up because it was called Creature Double Feature.
Wait, on did Philadelphia you get two Godzilla television. Movies?
And there would be two Godzilla movies, oh, Creature Double Feature. Yep. During the 70s and the 80s. Though actually, the program sometimes it featured Godzilla plus other creature films. So not just Godzilla.
Oh, maybe some Universal
But it would be
monsters.
A three-hour movie monster block.
Oh, that's like, you know when you
actually,
plan
I'm
your
sorry,
week?
I'm sorry, I am. Oh. Yep, that is correct. It would be just Godzilla movies. Three different Godzilla movies. Yep.
That is when creature. You plan your week, you're like, I got to save this chunk of time.
Back in the 70s, 80s, it wasn't that hard to do. Cause it plus being an only child, that's all I did was be glued to the television. That was my babysitter. So it didn't take me much to be sitting in front of a television for hours just watching whatever I could find on there. Probably I'm not supposed to, but remember again, I'm a child of the 70s and 80s with probably a single parent home or in my grandparents' home. So I wasn't monitored much. So I got away with a lot.
Godzilla
and shout out
raised
to Elvira.
Godzilla raised Karma.
Oh my God, that's great. Can I make that to a mini comic? Godzilla raised Karma.
Godzilla racing you? Oh, I would. We need a 5-issue miniseries. Let's get it done. Are we kickstarting it right now? Are you?
Yes, I'm kickstarting it. Let me write this down. Oh my God, that would make a great children's book.
Godzilla raised.
Of course,
me.
I would have to get Toho's licensing, which is going to be probably hard to do.
I mean, they licensed this thing out, so no offense
true.
To the show.
Oh, but if Godzilla's singular point can,
yeah, if Godzilla's singular point can
Toho,
get made. Yeah, if this can
Godzilla
get made,
raised
yeah.
Karma can get some funding, man.
This week, we have some fun Godzilla-themed treats for you to try out. First up, for our food item this week, we have the Spicy Singular Points. These are jalapeno popper balls coated in Flaming Hot Cheetos. Our cocktail this week is the Jet Jaguar Jolt. This grown-up cherry limeade contains cherry syrup, lime juice, vodka, and topped with soda water. And finally, for our mocktail, we have the Pelo 2 Protocol, containing chamomile tea, kiwi, mint, and pineapple juice poured over ice. Hope you all get a chance to try out these recipes. If you do, we would love to see them, so tag us at AnimeBentoPod. Now, let's jump into the show. A little bit about Godzilla Singular Point. A brilliant but quirky grad student, Mei, teams up with an eccentric engineer, Yoon, and his buddies from the Otaki factory, who are busy building a giant robot, Jet Jaguar. They're all trying to solve a bizarre, decades-old mystery involving a strange song, a giant bone in a basement, and the sudden appearance of classic kaijus, who are popping up all over the world. It's a race against time, math, and monster teeth. Godzilla Singular Point came out March 2021, and is available on Netflix. Spoiler warning, everyone. Spoilers lie beyond this point. Enter at your own risk. The following information may ruin the ending of the season for you. Okay, Karma. I know we both have some hot takes on Godzilla Singular Point, but what were some of your first impressions?
So I remember this being in, because one of my favorite films of all time now is now Godzilla Minus One. So, of course, when that popped up on Netflix, it brings up every single Godzilla entity that's there, you know, what's available entertainment-wise on Netflix. And Godzilla Singular Point was one of those. I saw the cover. I was like, wow, the artwork looked wonderful. I was pretty excited. I put it on my watch list. Never really got to it until this podcast. So I was pretty excited for it. I'm excited for anything that has Godzilla in the title. So I already knew that I wanted to watch it right away. I waited a long time to watch it, but I did add it to the watch list of my Godzilla films and TV series to watch. So that was my first impression on it. Not clicking on it yet. didn't hear about it. Friends never said anything about it. Got a few Godzilla friends in my circle. No one really mentioned it, but you know, there's a lot of Godzilla stuff out there. So what'd you think when you first saw and heard the title Godzilla Singular Point?
When I first saw Godzilla Singular Point, I actually never heard of this until we decided we want to do something Godzilla for this episode. Then I got excited, and I know we kind of went through a couple of Godzilla stuff. There's a Godzilla animated movie that we were debating doing. And then there was this show. And I will say I made the decision to go with the show. Could have been a wrong decision. We'll never know. Hopefully we'll do the movie later. It's a 3-part movie. There's 3 movies in it. So hopefully we'll get to that. I love the way that the show looks. I loved the animation of it. I love how the picture looked on Netflix. It looked really cool. It looked like it was going to be a really great anime and something I would really enjoy. Godzilla Singular Point, Godzilla.
Right.
It just has Godzilla in the name. And you're like, okay,
exactly.
Let's buckle down and get to this. I guess those are my first impressions. I have more to talk about, but let's talk about that in our next. Well, let's move on. We're going to talk about the pacing, the arc. Are there any filler episodes? And this is where I'll really dive into my true feelings on Godzilla Singular Point. But I want to hear, how did you feel about the story, Karma?
So I must admit, when we were going to decide between the movies, Godzilla, was it Planet of Monsters?
Yeah.
The 3 movies and Godzilla Singular Point. By this time, I had heard rumors and reviews on Singular Point not being so great. But because I love Godzilla so much, I was willing to watch it anyway. So I pressed play, folks. And I'll be real, Godzilla Singular Point didn't pull me in the way I hoped it would. The concept sounded incredible on paper. You know, with science and mythology, AI and kaiju all colliding in one big mystery. But watching it, I felt like the execution got too tangled up in all the science talk. And it lost the emotional spark that makes Godzilla stories, you know, really work, really a hit. The pacing was dense and technical, like really technical. At some points, I'm just like, oh, do we really need this extra explanation of this? Does it really have to be this deep? And then honestly, it didn't feel like it had a clear arc. There were so many scientific threads going on at once that it was hard to tell what the real focus was. And no, I didn't feel like there were any filler episodes or anything like that. Everything seemed to be connected, like other animes that we've watched. This really didn't need any filler episodes. I was like, please don't let them add anything else to them. Because it was just so layered with theories and jargon that it just came off more confusing than compelling. But I will give it credit for the ambition, some of the gorgeous animation that I've ever seen. But for me, it just didn't stick the landing. I just wanted more awe, and definitely I wanted more monster moments, less math lecture. So for this one, you know, you'll just have to see what I'm going to rate it at the end of this episode. But that's my first take on it when I started in just on the first episode, just on the first 20 minutes of it. What did you think when you pressed play? After you pressed play, you committed to it now. You had to press play. And it was how many episodes total?
13 episodes.
And oh my God. I felt all of the 13 episodes, man.
Okay. I'm going to be honest with everyone. I've had a busy couple of weeks. So I was putting this anime off for a while. Actually, 2 days before recording this, I started it. Because, again, I saw the artwork. I saw how it looked. I didn't do any diving into it. I assumed it was going to be such a great show that I was going to get sucked into it. That these 13... And if you're an anime fan like we are, 13 is nothing. We're used to 24 episodes, 30 episode season. So I was like, 13? I can zoom through that easily. I saw that each episode is about 20 minutes long. I was for sure I'm going to get sucked in. Godzilla's going to do awesome Godzilla stuff. It's going to be great. I press play and the show starts off with some weird long explanation about math and some science thing, and it's just a voiceover over a lot of scribbly lines, and I was worried. I was very worried. This is tough. It's tough because I want this show to be so much better, and it's so hard for me to say that I didn't like this show, because when I watch Godzilla movies, sometimes I want more science. Sometimes I see the scientists there and I'm thinking, no one's listening to the scientists. The scientist wants to try to say something, but the military is getting involved, or these people aren't listening to the person who knows who Godzilla is. So I'm always craving more science, and now I know not to, because this show is just math and theories and a lot of texting back and forth. A lot of math, yes. I think we get the same theory explained to us 4 or 5 times throughout this show. It's really tough watching them come up with a solution to a problem. It felt almost in real time. It seemed like they had a puzzle to solve, like a theory that they needed to solve. And it felt like I was watching them in real time solve this theory instead of just being like, okay, we have this theory, time skip a little bit, we've solved it. No, I saw them do the work for this.
That's a great description.
At points, I was wondering, is this slice of life? Is this just, nothing is happening? Are we just watching science slice of life? Because they're just researching a lot. And again, there was the kaijus were lacking. And there are, when I took a look at the list of all the kaijus in this show after I was done watching it, and I could see them all listed, it's about 6 or 7 kaijus in this show, which is good for 13 episodes. But we don't get any other kaiju. We start off with Rodan, and we have Rodan for 4 to 5 episodes, and that's it.
Right.
And then we finally get other kaijus, but they're very brief throughout the show. One little segment of each, and a little battle here or there, but nothing epic. Nothing that you would expect from, nothing epic. From someone who's watched Godzilla movies and seen how much destruction and how much action a Godzilla movie can have, this was just very lackluster in it all. And I assume you've watched this anime if you're listening to this episode, like always, or you're just listening to us. Godzilla doesn't show up till the end of episode 4, everyone. And then he disappears until like episode 9 or 8 or 9. Then he's frozen, and he doesn't fight until the last like 4 minutes of episode 13. This is Godzilla. See, the Godzilla's name is in the show. You didn't give me any Godzilla. It is, I don't
know. You sound like Dr. Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park. So this is a Godzilla show, right? So are we going to see Godzilla? Hello? You listening?
This is so fresh for me, everyone. I literally just finished the show an hour before we started recording this. It's living in me, this show. Okay, I've said my negative stuff about this show. The positive things I loved about Godzilla Single Point. I love the animation of it. Something about how, not the kaiju part, because that's, I'm going to save that for, it's a little different thing. But how the characters looked, it gave me this cool modern CGI mixed with art feel of it. It almost seemed like video game-esque, the characters in the world. I love that a lot. Then we flip to the kaijus coming out and like Rodan, Godzilla, and all of them. And their style is very, I don't know how to describe it. Maybe if you saw a manga page in color come to life, because it felt very drawn and comic book-esque. It was just so cool seeing that laid over the CGI people and background that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
The positive of this show is that it just looks beautiful. It's so, and which is good because it's so boring. That I'm glad I had beautiful pictures to look at.
I would have to say, even the acting wasn't all that great. Because I have to admit, I have to watch something else Godzilla for Godzilla Week. So I did watch the first movie of Planet of the Godzilla. And when I compare that voice acting and delivery of the lines comparing to this TV series, it was just, but I guess they're just two different tones. So I guess maybe the tone is different with Singular Point. So the acting doesn't have to be so, what's the word? Serious? I don't even know how to say it. Dramatic?
You know, on that note, thinking about Godzilla Singular Point, they're trying to stop this catastrophe from happening. And it's right. They have a timeline of stopping it. And
before the end of the world, right?
Yeah. Before the end of the world. And there's a majority of our characters are scientists. Now that you're saying this, and how the voice acting was kind of just one tone, It feels like there was no sense of urgency to solve this. I just watched the movie The Martian with Matt Damon. And that's about him being stranded on Mars and people down on Earth, NASA, trying to frantically figure out how to save him or get supplies to him. And in that movie, the scientists are going crazy. They're running around. They have urgency to their tone. They're trying to figure out. Gotcha. They're on a deadline. Our characters in this show are just like, how's it? Let me think about this problem for a while. There's no sense that if I don't solve this in like the next hour, the world is going to end.
Because that was actually, there was a part in it. I think it was in the first three episodes where they finally realized that if they don't do something, the world is going to end. And then when someone said it, the other character was just like, so you're saying the world is going to end? Just like that, just like calm. Oh, okay. There wasn't any urgent, like, oh my God, the world is going to end. We've got to figure this out. It was just like, okay, the world is going to end. Yeah, so let's deal with that, shall we? It was just like a whole nonchalant response to being told that you have a certain amount of time before the world is going to explode.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I don't know how to better describe this. It just felt like every character was on Xanax. Everyone was just so.
Oh my God, that's great!
Everyone seemed so tired and just like sleepy. It just, no one seemed that they were under an intense pressure. Even everyone just felt low energy. But I guess on that note, maybe we'll just dive into some of these characters, see what some of these people are about. Our first main character is Mei Kamino. And for me to describe her would be, I thought she was going to be a more fun, energetic young person. She is a grad student, and her field of study is almost mythological creatures. She knows a lot about folklore and different legendary creatures, but it is science-based. So I don't know. I thought I would compare it to someone who studies cryptids. But Karma, what were some of your takes for Mei?
So Mei, yeah, this quirky genius grad student who studies imaginary creatures. Yeah, she had a bright personality that's hopeful, curious spark that I really connected with, especially being someone who's new to this genre too of kaiju. Not new, but of the new anime version of kaiju and Godzilla. So even though her curiosity is admirable, sometimes her genius researcher, quote unquote, vibe felt a little too detached from the emotional stakes, just like we were saying. I wanted her, you know, less of the technobabble. I wanted to hear less of the technobabble from her, but that's basically all she spewed when you're first introduced to her, character. But Mei has all the ingredients of a lead that I can root for, but the show occasionally holds her back with heavy exposition instead of letting her shine emotionally, is my feedback on Mei.
I would totally agree. Mei has so much potential. There are definitely moments in the show where it's just like, Mei can take charge. I remember a scene where, oh my gosh, I can't remember her name. I want to say Lin or Yi, the main scientist lady, the like cool business suit lady. And she has these prisms and she's reflecting the light through it. And she's talking about like, the energy of the light. And if we take out the source, you could see that the energy is trapped inside the prisms. And it's this lecture in a university hall, it seems, and people are just spectating. Mei stands up and starts questioning how this is possible. How is she doing this? It shouldn't be physically possible to do this in the real world. So there's got to be something going on with it. She's questioning her in the middle of this group and taking stand, and it just feels like, oh, Mei is going to be this outspoken character who's going to take charge and push the story forward. But for every time Mei says something that seems, that gives urgency or that it's going to do something to it, she backs off. And then it just kind of, she goes into her shell and just kind of focuses on her own thing. And it doesn't even feel like it's a personality trait of like, oh, I'm afraid that I said this and now I gotta like go back or be more humble or be a more quiet person. It just felt like, oh, she had one thing to say and now she doesn't care anymore. Yeah. It just was, Mei has potential. They needed to team up Mei with the main group. If Mei could have worked with the main group, the Jet Jaguar group, I think it would have been a better dynamic. Instead of her texting Yoon back and forth and stuff. Yep. I feel like if she was actually there on the ground with them, it might have just helped so much more. This anime does suffer, I think, from having the two stories split and our group split into two things the whole time. But overall, Mei, I love her. I think she has so much, like you were saying, she has so much potential to be this cool force in the Godzilla world. She would be a great expert on kaijus, it seems like. It just never materialized. She just never really became anything more than...
I don't know, it seemed like they never think. I don't know. And even though there really weren't that many main characters. They just weren't like fleshed out enough for you to like care for them or like them or care what they say to each other or relate to each other or something like that. I don't know. It just seemed like it was so detached, just like you said. Like she's over here and then they're over there doing their thing.
May and Yoon, who we're going to talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
Just they both feel like good lead characters. And they feel so that I would want to root for them in this world. It's just they never clicked. I wonder if they were together, we would have a better story if they could have worked together. But on that note, I think we should just dive into Yoon. Our second character, because we were talking about this earlier, how the story splits into two different storylines, is Yoon Arikawa. Karma, what were your thoughts on Yoon?
So Yoon, what I liked about him, as you said, he's the engineer that works at the Otaki factory, and he's on the detective side, diving into weird signals and abandoned houses. I liked his grounded nature, how it helps anchor the sci-fi monster chaos that's going on. But what I felt that was off with him, you know, he has that quiet engineer. His quiet engineer type of role was fine. It just felt like it didn't, it blended too much into the background compared to May, who got overshadowed by all the plot mechanics that were going on with the story. So my takeaway with Yoon is that, you know, he was the reliable one, but in the show, bursting at the seams with ideas and visuals, I just wanted him to have more standout emotional beats, just like May. I think that's just what it was missing. It was just so much math and engineer that there wasn't any emotion to any of the characters, relations between all of them. There wasn't, like, I just didn't really care at this point. I'm just like, can we just blow up the planet so that we can end it all?
Is this what we're saving?
Exactly. Nobody's doing anything, so let's just let the time, just let the counter just end, please. So that's how to say with Yoon. But Yoon, I thought, yeah, he was a cool looking character. He was if I remember correctly, because it's been a minute since I've seen it, like just like a week. I finished it last week. Very cool, very engineer, kind of. I don't know. It would have been nice just to have more emotion out of him than just engineer. What did you think about Yoon?
Okay. When I first saw Yoon, I was like, oh, this is going to be my favorite. Like, him, mm-hmm. This is going to be
go.
His design, cool.
Yes.
The hair, cool.
Yeah,
got glasses, it. I'm loving it. I almost texted you when I first started the show, and I saw them on their little scooter, him and Habaru. I was like, oh, cosplay costumes for next year. Singular Point. I don't know if we want to even admit we did Singular Point. Their outfits are cool because they work for this company. The outfits are really cool looking. They're riding tandem on this scooter. I was like, I'm already shipping these two. He's so much fun. The problem is I thought Yoon was going to be more quirky than he was. We start off the first episode with Yoon being like, I can predict the future kind of almost. And he's very paranormal sensitive, or he's very observant. What is that show? Is it called Psyched? Where the guy works for the police and he's just really good at observation, so he can act like he's a psychic, but he like just notices things that we don't. That's what Yoon felt to me, that Yoon was making all these predictions that were coming true and he was using deductive reasoning. And I thought, oh, Yoon is going to be so quirky. He's going to be so much fun. He's going to be this, I don't know, Sheldon-esque character in this show. Just a very smart genius, but he has all these eccentric parts of him. Well, no, we didn't get any of that. We got the first episode of Quirky Yoon, and then it just halts, and it's just science, just a lot of math. And maybe this show would have done better if, or maybe like Yoon and May would have felt more interesting to me if the math was real math. It just, because this math is kind of Godzilla singular point math. But if it was grounded in something real world, maybe I'd be a little more interested in the theories they were coming up with. If they said, oh, this theory is blah, blah, blah's theory, and it's a real world theory, I might be more inclined to it. I'm sorry, everyone, but Yoon was just a big disappointment to me. And maybe if May and Yoon were teamed up the show, mm-hmm. it would be fun to have them banter each other. But just Yoon on his own, oh, man, what a waste of a cool character design is, in my opinion. I love Yoon, but there is like we were saying, he does have a friend with him. So his friend is Haburu Kato. And I like Haburu. Haburu's fun. He's a cool guy. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so Haburu, what was he like? He's like the physical muscle of the duo to help push the action forward between him and Yoon. He kind of felt like he was like the fun sidekick, but without as much depth as the leads. And, you know, I wanted more moments where he kind of surprised us in the story, like some more action out of him. But, you know, he did add some fun and variety to it. But just like I said with the others, he just didn't quite reach the emotional weight that I was hoping for with him. Yeah.
Here's my problem. I love Haburu's design.
Yeah.
I love Haburu's design. I love all these character designs. I love. Everyone looks interesting. My problem with Haburu is, and we get glimpses of him here and there, but Haburu is supposed to be kind of our normal person. We have Yoon and May, who are very science-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about him next, but we have Goro, who is their boss. He is extreme comic relief. He's like only there to be funny. Haburu should have been there for our emotion. He should have driven the story through some kind of emotion through line. I really hate to say this because I thought the show was already long enough, but if Haburu would have had, maybe if we would have given him a backstory or some kind of filler episode where we learn a little bit about who Haburu is as a person, why is he doing this? This could go for any character, actually. If we could have just learned more about their backstory, why they're here, why they're pulling this, then maybe it would give us more, it would connect us more to the characters. I really feel like they didn't understand that Haburu should have been there to drive the story emotionally. We have two logical people already. We have a comic relief person already.
Yep.
Haburu should have been... There should have been emotion there. There's scenes, like there's a scene where they're fighting the crab monster. And the crab monster takes, what is the crab monster? Kuma Goa. They're fighting that. And it takes one of the sailor people away or one of the other people. I really wish Haburu had more emotion, was like, we got to save him. That's a human life. You know, we have to protect each other. But it just never came out. He should have been the sense of urgency in this show. If May and Yoon are just in the books, he should have been the one pushing us to do things with urgency and faster. It's so tough, these characters.
Yes.
So that kind of wraps up our main people. But I think the stars of this show are these sub-characters. There's two supporting characters that I really want to talk about. I listed one more, but I don't think she's not even that much in the show. But there's two supporting characters that I think we should definitely talk about. And without them, I don't know if the show would have been bearable for me. But first up, we have Goro Otikai. He is Yoon and Haburu's boss. Uh-huh. He is very eccentric. He's so funny. His look is amazing. There is a scene, it's probably one of my favorite scenes. It's in the very beginning of the show, that they fight Rodan off with Jet Jaguar, and he gets arrested or something along the lines, he gets arrested, and the news puts a picture of him up, and it's the most insane picture of a man that they could have picked. And that's the one they keep flashing on the news, and I just thought that was hilarious. Kara, what are your some takes on Goru?
Yeah, so when Goru came into the picture, that's when I started, okay, I kind of perked up a bit because he was so funny. Just his energy alone, you know, kind of woke me up. You know, he has that eyeball flavor and charm that any type of anime will have to kind of, you know, loosen up things, make things not so serious. He's a weird mixture of inventor, dreamer, and monster apocalypse prepper. He's definitely got that boss kind of oddball boss flair to him. Sometimes his theatrics felt like they pulled me out of the story's tension instead of adding to it. But one of Goro's most memorable and, well, what I liked about Goro is that he was memorable and fun, but I wish his moments were a bit more impactful instead of just pure comedy. Like, he added the comedy, but it's just like, now what? Where's the emotions again? After that, you're giving me some laughs and stuff, but I need something else to your delivery of the comedy. But I thought he was fun. I liked him in the scenes and stuff. He gave it the much needed flavor that it needed from the first episode, especially. So when he appeared, that's when, like, okay, yeah, I started getting a little bit of energy into it, but then it kind of deflates again after that. So what did you think about Goru?
When Goru pops up, and he's in the show throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
For me, honestly, whenever Goru pops up, I'm like, thank God. I get a break. I know something fun's going to happen. This show drags a lot.
It does drag.
When Goru pops up and does his little comedic thing, I'm just like, thank the Lord. We're going to have some fun relief for a little bit. Goru, I don't know. I think Goru would be a fun boss to work for. No 2 days are going to be the same when you're working in his shop.
True that.
And again, yeah, I just love his design. It's a fun character.
He'd be a cool character to cosplay, but then you're like, if somebody asks you, oh, man, you're like, oh, should I watch it?
And truthfully, all these characters are cool cosplay. I think they'd be
cosplay. Yes, they are cool cosplay characters.
It's just maybe season two. We'll see.
Getting a season two.
It is getting a season two, everyone. So don't worry. If you were like, I need more Godzilla Singular Point, it's coming. I believe it's slated for late 2026, early 2027.
Oh, okay.
So you got some time. I think the next character that we should talk about, I'm going to skip over this one that I have in my notes.
Okay.
Unless you want to talk about her.
To tell you the truth, I don't really remember.
Satsumo?
Satomi?
Satomi, yeah.
Satomi?
Yeah. She looked cool, though, everyone. Her design is, like I said,
her design is pretty cool. But does she add much to the story? Do we need to talk to her? Did she do anything significant?
No, because she stayed at the home base.
She's the head receptionist of the factory.
Yeah. I do have one opinion, is that I wish she would have joined the team. I wish she would have came along with them. There was no reason for her to stay at the base, and she might have added something more. Like, we need more less science people in the group, is kind of my opinion.
Yes, we do.
But speaking about less science people, let's talk about one of my standout characters, and this is and if you know me, you know I do not like AI. It scares me. I think AI is going to take over the world. But if it's this AI, I might be fine with it. So let's talk about Pearl 2. So Pearl 2 is this AI. I believe it was an AI program that Yoon sent out into the world that kind of evolved into its own thing. And it lives in May's computer, but it lives in May's computer, but eventually gets its own robot body kind of thing. What are those things that deliver food all around? Have you seen those little robots that deliver the food?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but I hope you all know what I'm talking about. But it's the robots that deliver food around the city. Imagine that, and that's what it's in. Again, I love... This is kind of what I wanted from May and you, where it's the science talk, but also a fun personality. And is it going to be controversial if I said I wish this was a cat instead of a dog?
I actually thought... Now I see that it's supposed to be a dog. I thought it was a cat. I don't know why.
Because I love anime
always,
cats.
I always pair anime with cats. Yeah. But so, I do see that it looks like a corgi.
It's cute.
It's got the corgi kind of color.
It's cute.
It is cute.
What were your thoughts on this program?
Pelops? What do we call them? Pearl 2?
It's Pearl 2. Yeah. And then she calls it, she gives it a different name.
Yes. But sometimes it can be a little bit like too cute. So when its voice starts coming on the screen, and I'm just like, I don't know. It was cute. It was fun. So his cuteness sometimes felt at odds with the seriousness. This is what I'm trying to say. Like the high stakes monster parallel universe storyline, it felt maybe the tone shifted unexpectedly. So it went from like being cutesy, then all of a sudden, let me jump into this computer and figure out what we have to do and let's see what's going on. And then let me jump back into the seriousness. Is how Pearl 2 felt to me as a character overall to it. But definitely I think it was needed in this group of scientists and engineer. They needed something that was both charming and mathematical. And that's what we got in this character.
Most definitely. It almost felt
so
like
it was definitely like the comedic side. It was another comedic sidekick of the group.
Most definitely. I wish that this personality would have been May's personality. May's main. Not that I don't like having, because I feel like we always need to have a fun sidekick. But then in the show, Jet Jaguar also comes to life and has its own personality in an AI thing. That could have been our little AI fun sidekick thing inside Jet Jaguar. And this person, like, Pero's personality could have been May's personality, I think.
Right. They didn't really need it. The story really didn't need two AI comedic generated beings that were mechanic and comedy. It could have just been Jet. Because that kind of confused me, too. Because at first I was thinking, because I kind of dozed off of the show for a moment. And when I dove back into it, when they went from Jet Jaguar to Palo, that's when I'm like, Pero. That's when I'm like, oh, is this the same AI thing, but jumping in between two vessels? But no, they're two separate AI beings. But that's a good point that you made. It could have just been one. One of those could have just existed, which obviously should have been Jaguar. Maybe we didn't really need the pair of two character.
Yeah, if they would have given that personality to May, it would have broken up some stuff more. And it wasn't like there was no one else May could have interacted with. She was always surrounded by side characters in her world. So it wouldn't be like she's just talking to herself. The character's cute, though. So
it is. Know,
I loved having it around. I just wish it felt like at the detriment of another character or something we could have given someone else.
I agree.
I think that wraps up all the characters. Are there any characters that you want to go over that we didn't discuss? I know it's tough because everyone's kind of...
I went back to that Satomi
Oh, character. Yeah. Satomi?
Man, that would have been a great cosplay. Okay, with the cutoff top. She's showing her midriff. I mean, you're just like you said, all of them are actually great cosplay costume ideas. It just didn't live up to the characters.
Emphasize this again. The show is beautiful. I love the show. The look of it is great. It's just the content is not there for me.
Great, great description.
What were some of the takeaways that you took from this anime? Like, what were some of the themes? What were some of the messages that you got from the show?
One thing I got was the cycle of discovery and disaster. That there was always a reoccurring idea that progress and chaos often go hand in hand, and every discovery Mei and Yoon make seems to open a new door of problems, almost like the show is saying, with knowledge comes responsibility. So that was one relationship that I noticed. And then humanity's smallness in such a big universe, how Singular Point keeps reminding us that we're just tiny little pieces in a much larger system. And Godzilla isn't just a monster, but he's a force of nature, a scientific inevitability, that the theme of human limits runs through this entire story of Singular Point. Connections across distance, even though Mei and Yoon spend most of the season apart, they're constantly communicating, solving problems together from different parts of the world. It shows how collaboration and shared curiosity can unite people without being face-to-face contact. And another theme that I saw was science versus understanding, how one of the biggest themes is knowledge can both save us and it can confuse us. The show dives deep into the theoretical physics, AI, and parallel dimensions, but it also questions what happens when human curiosity goes too far. It's less about can we and more about should we, which is almost on the same theme as how Jurassic Park was. Can we? But what should we? I always got to give a shout out to Jurassic Park. Sorry about that.
For me, it's really, again, like you said, with the knowledge comes responsibility. We see a lot of people in this show who are so focused on one thing that they don't realize the more they dive into this thing is what is causing the destruction of this world.
Right.
And it seems some people are corrupt with power. We see that one business, I keep calling them business ladies. What is her name? Tilda, the white-haired older woman who runs the factory or whatever. Her name's Tilda Miller. She's the one who kind of runs the research center that they are working out of. You want to know an interesting fact about her?
Oh, yeah, I've never heard. She was in the all-white.
Yeah. An interesting fact about Tilda Miller is she is also voiced by Rita Repulsa. She is voiced by Rita Repulsa. Or she's the same voice actress as Rita Repulsa. You know what I mean, everyone. You know what another interesting fact is?
What?
Our main guy, Yoon, in the English... These are the English shop, by the way, everyone. Our main guy, Yoon, is voiced by Johnny Young Bosch, who is the second Black Power Ranger after Zach leaves on Power Rangers. So we have a little mini Power Ranger reunion.
Whoa,
with Ada from the Power Rangers and Rita Repulsa.
That adjusted my rating a bit.
Oh, you gotta raise it up? Is it chef's kiss now?
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I did have to look it up after the second episode, because after hearing Yoon talk, I was very much like, I've heard that voice before. So when I looked it up and then I saw that she was that Barbara Gordon voiced Tilda, I was like, oh, a little mini Power Ranger reunion, Mighty Morphin Power Ranger reunion in the show. So if that helps you, anyone, then that's a little fun fact for you all.
Yes.
But
you'll have to wait for her. Like, how long do we wait before we see
Oh, she's
her?
Not until like episode 7 or 8.
Oh, God, man, I'm so sorry. But it'd be worth the wait just to hear the voice.
It is. I mean, again, the kaijus look so good.
Yes, they do.
But yeah, just understanding of science versus, like you said, should we do this? Like, can we do this and should we do this? Yeah, we can do this, but at what cost is it going to cost us all? Those are kind of my takeaways. Are there any favorite moments that you had in the show that we didn't get to discuss?
Where did you have to revert to my notes?
Or I like calling this my favorite moments part, but honestly, it's most memorable moments. Because I realize that some of the moments I put in here for different shows are not favorites, but they're just memorable.
Yeah, I think it was just like I did like some of the moments of the Peril 2, like when he would say, let me see if I can figure this out. Let me jump out. Let me jump into here and let's go in here. And then he goes into his AI world to figure things out a little bit. Some of those moments were kind of fun and cute. Broke up the monotony of it all. And how it lightened the tone a bit. So those moments, I do like those Peril 2 moments because they did help wake things up a little bit throughout the show. So any of the Peril 2 moments were my favorites.
A couple of things for me that I wish would have continued in the whole show is the Reddit message boards. In the very beginning of the show, we get a lot of, when the kaijus are starting attack, we see this internet kind of message board where people are talking to each other on it, almost like Reddit, where they're coming up with their own theories about why Rodan's here, or what does this mean? And that felt really real world for me, because if kaiju started attacking the world, of course Reddit would be on top of it. Just a few other thoughts I had on the show. There's a character called Yamamoto, and he works... I forgot who he works for, but he works for the place where we find the bones in the basement. Mm. And I just wrote, is Yamamoto evil, or is he just stupid? Because there's moments where... something will happen, or we see the giant bones. He's like, oh, yeah, those have just been here for a while. And then he goes in and he's like, oh, here are the files we were looking for. Is he trying to misdirect me from the bones, or is he just like really stupid and he doesn't understand the urgency of what's going on? And it turns out he's not evil. Another couple of things that I wrote down is, why does Godzilla look like that? Godzilla, it's an interesting take on Godzilla for sure. Is it one of my favorite Godzilla designs? No.
No.
But it was an interesting take. You'll notice when Godzilla roars, he has almost several pairs of teeth. His whole mouth is lined with teeth, it seems. And I was just like, wait, why is Godzilla? And this is a note for everyone. Godzilla's got a classic design. I don't think we need to play around with it too much.
Mm-mm.
They definitely took liberties on this. And I guess my final moment is, honestly, I don't really need a season 2. I'm kind of good right now where I'm at. But at the very end of the show, we get a Mechagodzilla end credit scene.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I do want to see Mechagodzilla, though.
I do want to see Mechagodzilla.
It's tough. I want to see Mechagodzilla, but do I want to see Mechagodzilla in this world? That's a tough one.
I know.
Okay. Like with every episode, we like to rate the show on our scale. Karma. Godzilla singular point. What do you give this show?
Let me bring the mic a little bit closer. Godzilla singular point. It had all the potential to be something incredible. It had a great animation, an ambitious story, and tons of big ideas. But somewhere between the equations, theories, and the parallel universe chatter, it lost its emotional connection to me. But the human side that makes a Godzilla story resonate never fully showed up by the end of the first season. Now, I will say, I love the intro songs. Both the opening and the ending themes had that perfect blend of mystery and energy that made me think, okay, maybe this is the episode that finally hooks me. Unfortunately, the music ended up being one of my favorite parts. It wasn't a total loss. I respect that, what it was trying to do, and I could tell a lot of the thought went into the science behind of it. But as a viewer, I felt more like I was sitting through a lecture than watching a kaiju series. So on the anime bento scale, I'm giving Godzilla Singular Point a taste of regret. It looked good on the menu, but it just didn't satisfy the craving. And I would have to say, at least the theme song slaps. I can't say that for the story.
That's fair. That is very fair. Okay, for me, Godzilla Singular Point. This show gets weighed down with too much jargon, too much over-explaining, too much science and math, unfortunately. And just all the science and math aren't bad, necessarily. It's just this was the worst way of doing it. It's lack of kaijus, it's very much lack of Godzilla in this whole show, is what just hurts it so much. The only saving point is that I ship Yoon and, what's his name again? Oh, Yoon and Haburo, is that I ship those two together, and I hope they have a fun life for themselves. The show is just, it was a chore. It was very much a chore to get through. And in saying all that, it is with a heavy heart that I give this show a garbage disposal.
Oh, snap!
I cannot, I know we did it and you watched it. I can't recommend this show. I cannot. Look, go Google it. Look at the pictures. It is a beautiful show. Yes. I cannot recommend this. I say, in the time that it takes you to watch this show, go watch 4 classic Godzilla movies instead.
Dang.
I am shocked this is getting a season 2.
I'm totally shocked it's getting a season 2.
There are loose ends that I'm fine with just leaving them loose. I honestly don't need to see what these characters are up to in the future. I do not care. Sorry. It's just, this was a rough one, everyone. And, you know, I'm glad we did it, though. I'm glad we kind of...
Yeah, I am glad we did it.
We moved through this.
Because it had been on my list for quite a while since Godzilla Minus One. So, I'm glad I got it out of the way. It didn't give me my Godzilla juice that I wanted and craved, but I have to watch it because it has Godzilla in the title. So,
oh, most definitely. If you wanted this to scratch your Godzilla itch, it's not doing
yes.
it. It's not doing it
it's
at all.
It's not at all.
So, yeah, Godzilla Dang, singular.
So you said, do not eat this. It's a waste of calories and will likely lead you to an upset stomach.
It did. And
the garbage disposal. I wasn't even that harsh.
I will say, though, I did watch some clips on YouTube trying to figure out some points that I wanted to talk about today. And all the clips were subbed. They were kind of cooler subbed. It gave me that little throwback of watching like the classic Godzilla movies that were subbed.
Wow.
So I don't know if I could do a second watch through the show, honestly. But maybe if watching it subbed can give you that throwback feel of watching a classic Godzilla movie subbed.
Maybe I'll check out the clips.
Could help. I don't know. But yeah, that's Godzilla. That's Godzilla Minus One. Or not Minus One. Watch Godzilla Minus One. Sorry. Scratch that. Godzilla Minus One. Banger. Watch that instead of Godzilla Singular Point, honestly. Watch Shin Godzilla.
Definitely.
Watch Shin Godzilla too. That's a great movie.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, watch Shin Godzilla.
We're getting some good Godzilla. We're eating well in the kaiju Godzilla world now.
Watch Singular Point for Godzilla Day.
But yeah. But yeah. Yeah, don't watch Godzilla Singular Point for no reason. Yeah, watch something better. Next Godzilla Day, we'll cover something really cool, I promise you. Those are just some of our opinions, but we'd love to hear what you thought about this season. Please,
we watched
leave
this for you.
Yeah, we watched this, and we want
to
hear.
You didn't have to.
We want to hear what you thought if you watched this too. So please leave us a comment telling us your favorite moments and characters. You can find us at Anime Bento Pod. You can find me at Jimsta2.
You can find me at 28 Savage Days.
That's all for this week's episode. Until next time, stay legendary.
And don't forget to take a moment to press start, nerds.
Bye.
Bye.